From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, February 19th, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Healthcare advocates say more than 400,000 Mainers will be affected if state GOP lawmakers stand in the way of emergency Medicaid funding. At a Portland press conference Wednesday, some raised concerns that failure to pass the supplemental budget next week will jeopardize funding for hospitals, strain the state budget, and prevent Mainers from receiving the care they need. Marie Folatar, a community organizer who says she is a survivor of a rare leukemia, says she relies on Medicaid to survive.
Some days I eat mashed potatoes, and other days some soup, but the staple of my diet is food that Medicaid purchases for me.
On initial votes, the budget won majority support last week, but needs Republicans on board to garner the two-thirds vote required to pass an emergency measure. Supporters of a voter ID initiative in Maine have gathered enough signatures to place the issue on the fall ballot. Kevin Miller has more.
Maine is one of 14 states that do not require voters to present a photo ID at their polling places. Republicans have repeatedly failed to get voter ID bills through the Democratic-controlled legislature. But Secretary of State Shenna Bellows announced on Wednesday that the Voter ID for Me campaign had submitted more than the roughly 68,000 signatures that are needed to send the issue to voters. The referendum will be on the November ballot unless lawmakers approve the bill as written. National polls suggest that voter ID enjoys strong bipartisan support, but opponents argue that such laws suppress turnout and disenfranchise voters, especially minorities and older voters who are less likely to have driver's licenses. Critics of the proposal in Maine are also expected to focus on the fact that the upcoming referendum would change state rules on absentee balloting and ballot drop boxes. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The director of Maine Cannabis Policy will be investigated for possible conflict of interest regarding his ties to the software provider that tracks marijuana plants from seedling to sale in Maine. John Hudak was co-founder of Friedman & Kosky, a cannabis policy consulting firm, just before he was hired by the state. His former colleague, Louis Kosky, became chief strategy officer at software firm Metric. Republican State Representative David Boyer says Hudak negotiated a Metric contract amendment that increased the contract to $890,000. The contract is up for renegotiation, and Boyer says Hudak wants Maine's medical cannabis caregivers to also use the track and trace system.
Director Hudak has made it his mission to push for medical track and trace. He's trying to push Metric onto medical, where there's 1,600 caregivers instead of 100 cultivators. And that represents a lot of money to be made.
A spokesperson from the Department of Administrative and Financial Services says Hudak has been clear and transparent about his past working relationships prior to joining OCP and has repeatedly stated that he has neither direct nor indirect pecuniary interest in Metric. The amendment in 2023 was required, the state says, to comply with the statutory requirement to change from individual plant tagging to batch tracking. The state says Hudak will not be involved in contract renegotiations with Metric. The Office of Program Evaluation and Government Accountability will conduct the investigation. City officials in South Portland have halted a tree removal project near the Portland International Jetport and are now investigating the legality of the cutting. Molly Enking has more.
A contractor began clear-cutting trees in a 5-acre swatch of forest near the Portland International Jetport last month, which needed to remove trees in order to stay in compliance with FAA flight path tree height limits. But South Portland Planning Director Milan Navida says the Jetport hadn't informed the city that the cutting had started, and that there may have been tree removals that were not allowed in the permit. Most importantly, says Navida, the exact dimensions of the affected wetlands in the area is under question.
At the core of the issue is this wetland discrepancy, which significantly influences how we need to interpret the impact.
State and federal wetland protections do not allow stump removal or soil disturbance. Nevada says the investigation is ongoing. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly Enking.
Acadia National Park has been hit by the latest round of layoffs at the National Park Service. 8 full-time staff were let go Friday, according to nonprofit Friends of Acadia. Those staff included fee collectors and trail maintenance staff. The group's president and CEO, Eric Stiles, says those positions are essential for keeping the park safe for visitors and generating revenue for the park. Acadia collects about $12 million a year in entrance fees. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join Irwin Gratz tomorrow morning at 5 for Morning Edition. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thank you for listening.